Blog Talk Radio.
Please come to Boston. Was playing on the radio. He asked me to go. I thought, what the hell? It's the same old story. Ain't there always a man involved? The whole thing reeks of alcohol, and somebody ends up in jail. See, my sister Gina, she always was a pretty one, just like Audrey Hepburn and Breakfast at Tiffany's. She could have had.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today on the show, we welcome super talented singer-songwriter Erin Enderlin. We'll talk with Erin about her career, music, and anything she's working on that she can talk about. So let's get to it. And as usual, I've got my buddy Craig with me. Hey, Craig, what's up, dude?
Good, Cody. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. This is actually our second show in as many days, and we've still got two more shows this week, which is crazy and great at the same time.
Let's keep the momentum going. I'm so excited to interview Erin today.
Me too. And with that being said, let's welcome the incredibly talented Miss Erin Enderlin to the show. Hey, Erin, how are you?
I'm good. How are y'all doing?
Oh.
I'm doing good.
Now that you're on the air, couldn't be better.
Absolutely. Thank you for doing this today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I'm very grateful.
As the song was playing, a baby sister from your Whiskey Town Crier album, a thought ran through my mind. I'm gonna say it. Your voice reminds me of a female Chris Stapleton. It's just
interesting.
So good.
Well, I will take it. I love Chris. He's one of the best singers out there, in my opinion.
Agreed completely. And for anybody out there that doesn't have your Whiskey Town Crier album, I have two questions for you. What's wrong with you? And where have you been since September?
They haven't visited Whiskey Town, that's for sure.
Before we get things going today, I wanted to touch on something that we talked about on social media. Is your hand in writing one of my favorite songs, Monday Morning Church by Alan Jackson. Took me into the writing room on that day. Was this like a planned write, or did the song come out of just accidental something?
It was planned. I wrote it with my friend Brent Baxter, and he actually was still in Arkansas at the time, and I was going to school at MTSU in Nashville, or right outside of Nashville, and had gone home for the holidays, and we got together to write. We'd met at a show earlier in the year, and he brought in a lot of that lyric. He'd gotten the idea from a poem his mom had written, and then just kind of let this story take off from that little seed. And I immediately gravitated towards it. I had a friend who died in a car accident not that long before, and kind of really resonated with me with that, and pulled out my guitar and started woodshedding on it, and the two of us came up with that. And it was actually my first song to get cut in Nashville, recorded by another artist, and Alan Jackson cut it, and if that wasn't good enough, he had Patti Loveless sing harmonies on it, so I was pretty grateful for that one. It's
for your first cut in Nashville, I don't think there's a better artist to have your first cut. I don't think there's a better artist in Nashville than Alan Jackson.
Yeah, I just, you know, I really love I love his music, but I also just love who he is as a performer and how much he loves country music and the history, and is always really reverent to it and supporting other artists that he loves. And he's cut a lot of great songs, and a lot of them he's written them himself, so it's pretty humbling to have a writer of his stature be like, you know, I like your song good enough to kick one of my songs off my album.
Right. And I'm probably telling my age here, but that song came out my senior year of high school.
Excellent.
Like I said, I'm probably telling my age at this point. So I also wanted to ask, how did you get into the music business in the first place?
Well, you know, I became just really into country music at a really young age, and listened to everything I could get a hold of, started playing music and writing and performing around Central Arkansas as I got a little bit older, and wanted to come to Nashville, and ended up going to MTSU, Middle Tennessee State, and majoring in the music business program they have there. and just going into Nashville and meeting as many people as I could, going to different, you know, they'd have guest speakers places and playing writer nights and meeting new writers and just soaking up everything I could. And through a series of events, I ended up getting hooked up with my first publisher, and he recorded 5 demo recordings on me. So I got to go in the studio with, I mean, it was pretty crazy. It was the same, you know, musicians that played on all the hits you hear, and got to play them my songs, and they brought them to life in the studio. And one of those was Monday Morning Church, and my publisher took it out and started playing it for people.
That is awesome. And that sort of leads me to my next question. You've had cuts by major artists. You're an artist yourself. You've essentially done it all in the music business at this point. If you could go back and change one thing about your career, would you, and what would it be?
First of all, I mean, I think it's pretty crazy when I think back about everything I've been able to be a part of. I mean, when I wrote Monday Morning Church, I was only 19 years old, and I've got to play the Grand Ole Opry. I've got to play at the Ryman. I got to go out and tour with Willie Nelson. I mean, I feel really satisfied that I've been able to live a lot of my dreams. Not to say that I don't still have things I want to do, but you know, I hate to go with the old adage of, you know, everything happens the way it happens for a reason, but I mean, if I changed anything, I might not be where I am today. So
true. True.
I might have smoked weed with Willie, but I didn't.
That's the only thing you would need to accomplish.
That's
no, I'm just
probably
kidding.
Probably a good thing. That's probably a good thing. I know you mentioned you played the Grand Ole Opry stage.
Mm-hmm.
So on the mm-hmm. career bucket list, what's next?
Well, I'm really excited about going out and doing a lot more shows this year. I've kind of been touring off and on over the years, but I'm going to get to focus a lot more on that this year, and I'm really excited about that. I'm excited about getting to take my music out and meet new people and bring it to new people, and that's my main goal this next year. And also just to, you know, keep finding ideas for songs, for different social media stuff and events and different things. I just want to keep finding things that feed me creatively and get to bring something cool to my fans, something different.
I saw, Erin, that you're going to be, what you told me about, you're going to be playing the Bluebird Cafe in a few weeks. With
mm-hmm.
Tara Thompson and Jeffrey Steele, two weeks from this Saturday. Is this the first time you'll be playing at the Bluebird?
No, I've been playing at the Bluebird since like 2002, I think. That's been a while. But this show is really special to me. Once a year, they do a whole month of shows to raise money for a live hospice. It's out of Tennessee, and they do a lot of great work. And I've been playing that show since 2003. I actually did my first show there then, and Chris Stapleton was actually on that show, and Steve Leslie and Irene Kelly, and it was a really cool experience, and I just kind of fell in love with that organization and what they do. And so it's kind of extra special.
And I'm sure it's extra special for them to have you perform, too, for the benefits.
Yes, and it's going to be my birthday, so it might get a little extra.
So you mean whoever people that attend might get a piece of birthday cake?
Yeah, maybe. I might, you know, be wearing a special birthday T-shirt. We don't know. There might be confetti. There's just all kinds of fun possibilities.
Sweet.
That definitely was a sweet show. Yes.
I wanted to talk about a little bit about Nashville in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great town.
It is.
I only live about 3 hours west of Nashville. I have family that lives about 15 minutes outside the city. So
mm-hmm.
I go to Nashville pretty much every chance I possibly get. Matter of fact, I was just there last month, matter of fact. And like I said, it is a great city. I mean, the people are second to none, some of the best people in this world.
Yeah, it's a great town, and there's so much music here. Obviously, maybe my favorite part of Nashville is just, you know,
right.
Sometimes just sit there and think about all the stuff you get to see.
Right, exactly. And that leads me to this. I've been doing the show for, this will be the 6th year, which is crazy to even say. I've been doing this for 6 years. It's crazy to even say that. But, and I've been interviewing up-and-coming country artists for about 4.5 of that. And I think you probably agree with me that the country music industry, there are from the artists to the fans to the insiders, there are just some of the sweetest people in the country industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of what made me fall in love with country music is just the camaraderie and the the artists work together. There's a real reverence for the music that came before, but also building on that, doing your own thing. And I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like it's really special.
Oh, trust me, it's not just you. It's me too. I mean, I grew up on country music. I grew up on Alan Jackson. I grew up on Garth Brooks, Shania Twain, Martina McBride. I grew up on that stuff myself. So it's,
mm-hmm.
I understand that completely.
I wanted to ask you, Aaron, how was your reaction when you were told that you would be part of the next class for the next woman of country, the CMT's next woman of country?
Honestly, I was a little bit shocked. There's a lot of great people out there working, and I think, it wasn't too long. It was probably maybe month or two after my album came out, and I had been working so hard and kind of had my head down, just going through that. That kind of shook me up a little bit just to be like, hey, you should, breathe a little bit and enjoy some of the stuff that's going on, see what you've accomplished. And I was just really honored to be a part of that. Leslie Fram, who was the head of CMT, she just does great work with programming and supporting artists and promoting country music, and I just feel really honored to be a part of that group.
That was a terrific class that you were among.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. I agree.
You, of course, you deserve to be above this class, Aaron. And hopefully a lot of people, country fans who don't know of you, have because of this and will learn about you as you grow up the country ladder to the extent that we could see you at the big venues opening for Alan Jackson one day possibly, and you leading up to be a headliner at these larger venues.
Man, that would be awesome. I love making music, and I'm just really grateful that it's connected with people, and I'm excited to see where this next year and on is gonna take me. So,
I'm gonna say this now, but I'll say it again at the end of the interview. If there's ever anything that we can do for you, don't ever hesitate to reach out, okay?
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I mean, that's one of the coolest things to me about music. I mean, I guess it's just kind of like what we were talking about with country music and the community and everything too, but you just meet so many great people through the music, and it is a tough industry, but I just found that I just had the opportunity to help to find so many people, and so many people want to help you. They want to work with you, and that's just been really cool. It's hits your heart a little bit.
The entire goal of this show, when I started this show, is to help some incredibly talented people get to where they want to be. And the way I look at it is if this show can be a stepping stone to that next thing, whether it's that next gig or that next interview or whatever it is, I've done my job.
That's awesome.
I saw you're going to be performing in Pennsylvania in February, right near Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
That's very
I'm
close.
I'm excited about that.
I'm 300 miles from there. I was looking for ways to perform you if I can't get to the Bluebird Cafe show, and if that's
mm-hmm.
something that are available.
The theater there in Pennsylvania looks really nice too. The Mishler, it looks really cool. And I'll be playing with Travis Meadows and Levi Lowry there too, which are two of my favorite performers. So
awesome.
It'll be a good one.
And I'm hoping that you will eventually be able to take your show to New Jersey and New York.
Yes.
Where I can avoid a plane ride to see you, if you understand.
Yes. Convenience is key.
Yes, it is. I wanted to ask you, Aaron, as a creative person, which I know you obviously are, what inspires or motivates you?
I think first and foremost is live music. I love going out and watching music, and it may not be it just gets me going, you know. It reminds me, I feel the same way when I'm out at a show listening to music that I love, that I did when I first started listening to it, when I went to my first concert when I was 13, you know. And I may not get like specific ideas from that, but it just, I think it opens up your mind to that place where you're connecting with that music, where you get that excitement and that passion going. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the Sons of the Palomino, but I went out to see a show of theirs last month. I think it was one of the last shows I went to for the year. And man, that CD is amazing. And just getting to see it live and getting that energy from the audience and everything, that's my favorite way to get inspired creatively.
You know, I'm a big a music nerd myself. I mean, probably my favorite thing to do is if you give me a pair of headphones, I can literally entertain myself for hours. That's just, music is like I'm a happy place, and this is another reason why I started the radio show. I cannot sing a note at all. It's just not even funny. So
when I sing, glass cracks.
Same,
and
buddy.
I've tried. I've eaten watermelon all these years, and it hasn't done a damn thing to my vocal cords. Excuse my language.
Exactly. Same, buddy. Anyway, but that's another reason why I started this radio show, is to I keep myself close to the industry that I just have so much respect, love, and passion for.
Mm-hmm. Man, it's crazy. I don't know, all the music you get to see and hear and the experiences you get to have through music.
Yeah, I know.
And you can play the radio, so you got that going.
True.
For you.
This is very true. And I'm also in the process of learning guitar, which is not easy.
Nice.
Which is really not easy, but I'm learning. Let me see.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a question I always have to ask in every single interview I've ever done. I had a professor in college one time. He loved scenarios. He'd throw a scenario out at you pretty much every class period. So I'm going to toss you a scenario.
Interesting.
When your career takes off and you're winning a CMA award after CMA award, which is going to happen for you, there's literally not a doubt in my mind, what's the one thing that you want to be remembered for as an artist?
I think connection, maybe. Just, you know, a connection with people through music. That's what
right.
I hope most for, is that with the songs that I write and everything, I hope that just that it connects with people and that it gets them out of their head or their own world, whatever's going on, for just, you know, 3 minutes or so.
A lot of us people need music as sort of it's like therapeutic experience based on everything that's happening in the world today. It's basically including myself, our happy place, as Cody had said.
Oh, yeah. Music is definitely
right.
The best therapist,
this
in my
really
opinion.
This is always kind of another fun question for you. I know you mentioned a little bit earlier about social media, so how has social media affected your career thus far?
Man, it really has been huge. It was not something, I didn't really grow up with social media. I mean, I guess I'll just tell my age too now, but I didn't grow up with that sort of thing. And so it took me a while, I think, to adjust to it, to figure it out. But I'm starting to have a lot of fun with it. And I think it's really cool that, like, one of my favorite things is doing a Facebook Live, because I get to, like, go on there, sing some songs, and talk to people, like, all over the world, not even just in other states. That's really cool to me. And it's a fun other part of the creative process, too, you know, thinking about, well, what are some cool pictures that I could take, or some cool music video type stuff that I could come up with. I've been working on a little kind of series of what do they call them? Collaborations videos that I'm really excited about putting out this next year. And it's really cool. It's like another way to connect with your fans, and another way to share your music. And I think it's been really, really helpful to me, because you know, getting out to go out and tour a lot more, it's nice to be able to reach out and start a relationship with people in different states and different towns, and let them know what I do, and be able to connect with them before I head out there, you know, to hopefully invite them to come see the show.
Social media is the main reason why I've heard of you and your music, Aaron, and led to Whiskey Town Crier, and it led to me communicating to social media, sending you a Christmas card, and now looking forward to seeing you perform in 2018. Only when is the question.
As a matter of fact, I think it was you, Craig, that actually told me about Aaron, as a matter of fact.
Yes, I did, and I'm happy that I did, and Aaron agreed to be a guest on the show, and hopefully from there, you know, it will help Aaron's career, not that it'll lead to more interviews and more shows, not that you'll know what I mean. I hope,
oh yeah,
Aaron,
yeah,
hope
yeah,
people will know of you. There's, we have apparently we have a lot of listeners abroad, not just in the United States. So that would help you, you know, because when if you ever chose to play in Europe, apparently the United Kingdom, I think in London, has its own mini CMA fest now, 3-day festival.
Yeah.
That would open up doors for you to play there, possibly.
Yeah, I'm really, I really want to go over and play in Europe. I think it would be really cool.
That would be
and
a
I'm
neat experience.
Sure love.
This next question I've got for you is sort of on the same social media thing, but not really. Do you think it's easier now for people to be noticed by not just the music industry, but the entertainment industry as a whole than it was, say 20, 25 years ago because of social media?
I think it's just different, but I think one of the cool things that it does allow is it really gives artists a chance to develop on their own, to be able to have more of a reach, to get out their songs and their albums and connect with fans and start to build, you know, who they are as an artist and build a music career with that, so that when they do go into a label or get other entertainment opportunities, that they have a very clear vision of themselves that they're able to share, you know? It's... and I think that's really cool. And I think it's cool that it also... You know, in a way, kind of like the way that DJs have been over the years, you know, discovering new talent, putting new music out there. There's a lot of that same kind of thing through social media. And it just makes it a lot – I think it definitely increases the number of opportunities that people, that artists have to get their music out and to connect.
Right. And I'm glad you said that about DJs and stuff. I don't consider myself a DJ per se, but I do host every Friday. I host what's called Indie Country Radio, where I'll pick my a top three favorite indie songs of the week, and and I'll play them and spotlight the artist And I'll definitely be more than happy to play some of your stuff on the show. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really cool. That'd be awesome.
Awesome. And I tend to quote unquote break new music on the show. Like somebody will have a single out there that's been getting a bunch of airtime on radio shows like mine. I'll go through the album or the EP and pick out like a obscure album cut and I'll just be like, heck with it, I'm gonna play this. So
nice.
I think a couple more questions I've got for you. This is always gets a laugh from the guests. Okay. So you're stranded on a deserted island and can only have three items with you. What are you taking?
Three albums?
Three items. Just anything.
Oh, three items?
Just whatever you want to take with you.
Can we just
you.
Make them albums then? Because what else do you need? I mean, other than obviously I'm just going to grant myself some sort of playing device.
Fair enough.
I'm going to go with... let's see. I'm going to go with Reba, Rumor Has It, Emily Paris, The Ballad of Sally Rose, and Terry Clark, Fearless.
Three awesome albums. That's pretty cool.
That'll keep you occupied for a month until you run out of coconut water.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at that point.
Okay, if you weren't a singer or in the entertainment business at all, what would you be doing right now?
Well, I think I'd probably be in law somewhere. Like a lawyer.
Did you say even a lawyer?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'd probably be a lot more stressed out. Yes. A lot stressed out, and you would be working two or three times the amount of hours, and you would be subject to a lot of unappreciated comments, to say it professionally.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I think this might be the last question I've got for you, but whether it's in your personal life or professional life, what's the best advice you've ever been given?
That's a really good question. Man. I think actually I'm going to have to go with Susie Boggess. When I moved to Nashville, I, wanted to be a singer, wanted to write songs. And Susie was somebody I really admired, and I went up to her after a show one night. She was in a little residency in town with the jazz album she had done. And so she was playing a couple of dates, and I went up and asked her, I said, if I wanted to be a doctor, I could go to the hospital and say, hey, can I, talk to one of your doctors about what it's like to be a doctor? Could I buy you a cup of coffee or something and pick your brain a little? And she was kind enough to oblige. And one of the things she said was that you always have to stay true to yourself. Always, make sure you know who the core of you is as an artist and as a person, what's important to you in your career, and stay true to that, because, once you start changing that up, there's no way to really put the cat back in the bag. And that always really stuck with me.
Awesome.
I love that.
That's a pretty good advice.
Yes,
yeah.
It was. I love how you put
Craig?
It, like, there's no way letting out the cat in the bag. Oh, trust me, if we had more time, I would definitely say a joke or two, but I won't. Can I ask a question, Cody?
Yeah, absolutely, Craig. Go ahead, buddy.
Yes. Hi, Aaron. So I wanted to ask two more questions. One,
yeah,
who would you be interested in collaborating with for future recordings, both recordings, actually, and concerts? And do you see yourself performing at CMA Fest in June?
All right. So first question first. I would say it's always been a dream of mine to have Emmylou Harris sing on one of my songs. So that, I think, would be my ultimate with that. And for shows, I'd really love to do some shows with Brandi Clark. I think she's just one of my very favorite artists that's out there right now, and I love watching her shows. I've got to go out and see her a couple of times, so really enjoy it. And then CMA Fest. So I need to get cracking on that. I did a pretty cool little kind of fan club party / show last year, and I'm hoping to do that again this year.
And if you do, you will have me in attendance, because I have attended CMA Fest for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
So I have a feeling I'm going to make up all the time I haven't seen you, Aaron.
And I'm hoping to get to experience my first CMA Fest in June. I've never been. I've always wanted to go.
That's awesome.
That's the core of country music festivals.
I've heard nothing but great things about it, and I've always wanted to go. I have several friends who play on the side stages or whatever, and and I've kind of picked their brains about it, and they just said, dude, you just need to go. That's all we can say. You just need to go. So So I'm crossing my fingers that I get to go this year. And speaking of Nashville, I think I told you this on Instagram, Aaron. One of my resolutions this year is to get my butt back to Nashville a lot more this year than I did last year.
I think that's a great goal.
Because I was there about 4 or 5 times last year, seeing some friends of mine play, and it's great. And if I live closer to Nashville, I'd be up there pretty much daily if I live closer to Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be honest with you. But, yeah.
I would be there 6 to 10 times a year if I lived in 2 to 3 hour driving distance.
Agreed.
Taking the plane.
Thank you for taking over 30 minutes of your time to come on and do this. This has been so much fun.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yes.
Absolutely. And I know I said this earlier, but if there's ever anything that we can do for you on the show, whether it's a promotion for a new single, whether it's just absolutely anything, I don't ever hesitate to reach out, okay?
Well, thank you so much. That means a lot.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Aaron, I wanted to ask you before we conclude the interview if there's anything you wanted to bring up or discuss briefly that hasn't been mentioned.
Well, I mean, I guess other than my album and what I'm doing touring-wise and stuff, something that I'm really excited about is I've got some songs on Terry Clark's new album that's going to be coming out next year, and I can't go into a lot of details right now, but there's going to be some cool stuff happening in the next couple of months with that, so...
Nah.
And if you connect with me on my social media, then...
I was going to ask that. Where can fans find you on social media if they want to follow you?
Yeah, on Facebook, it's Aaron Enderlin Music. And Instagram and Twitter is just Aaron Enderlin. And I've got a website, too, AaronEnderlin.com.
And I follow you on pretty much everything. Just putting that out there.
Yes.
I follow you on pretty much everything. Just putting that
all
out
the
there.
Cool kids are doing it.
Is
oh,
there
yes.
a chance,
hey,
Aaron, that one last quick question. CMT
okay.
has hosts a ceremony next Woman the Country at the Country Hall Music of Fame where they have 4 or 5
mm-hmm.
artists perform 2 songs and Leslie Frame hosts it. Is there a chance
mm-hmm.
that we will see you at the ceremony being one of the artists?
Well, for this, during the CMA fair? I don't know about that, but I will definitely be there in attendance if I'm able. And I've seen Leslie do it a couple of times. It's really cool.
Awesome. I think I'm gonna let you go and let you get about your evening, but I thank you again so much for doing this.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Y'all have a good one and a happy new year.
Thank you, Aaron. Happy holidays.
Oh, you too.
You. And look forward to seeing you soon.
I'll definitely be talking with you on social media, definitely, okay?
All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye, Aaron.
Bye.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Yes.
Just, wow.
I think she's going to become very, very popular in the country industry in the next year,
Agreed.
2 years.
In the next 15 seconds, you want to run down everything we've got coming up the rest of this week?
Yes. On Friday, we have from Song Suffragette, Tierra. And this Saturday, we have the wonderful female duo of Wildfire.
Yes, we do. And I cannot wait for that.
Yes. Both interviews should be
terrific. And that makes it, four shows this week, which we've done before, obviously.
We rested for over a month, so we more than have the energy to do it.
This is true. I think I'm going to let you go and kind of wrap things up here, okay, buddy?
Okay, thanks, Cody. Again, talk to you on Friday.
All right, I'll see you Friday, bud. Hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Erin Enderlin. As Craig said, Friday at 4:30, we have singer-songwriter and a Song Suffragette member, Tierra, joining us. And Saturday at 4:30, we have a super talented country music duo, a Wildfire, with us. So I think, with that being said, I think I'm gonna end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.